Hello and welcome to Nikon Report, your weekly roundup of all the latest Nikon news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. It's Constantine here.
And this is Becky.
Yay, Becky is there and I'm here. This is Nikon Report 139. We are on Zoom on different sides of the pond. Obviously, Becky is in the United States. She moved there forever now. She will never come back. And we're going to talk about the Nikki news.
Okay, so first up, we have some promotions in the UK, more than you originally expected. So not only do we have the winter instant savings, but we have an additional bunch of promos, including Z8 Enhanced Part Exchange, plus a free FTZ Mark II with every order of a Z8, which I think is a pretty good deal, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it's been at its recommend retail price for so long. So it's a good time to trade in your old camera and upgrade to a Z8 with a discount. You know, we've seen cameras coming in that's basically a non-working camera. The good news is if the value of this camera is zero, you still get £270 towards a Nikon Z8. So that helps. Also, Z8 24-120 kit included. Free FTZ is given regardless if you part exchange your camera or not. There's just a promotion. And that one ends on 31st of December. So it's just 1 month. We also have additional lenses added to Nikon Winter Saving promotion. So we have Z8 1.2S lens added with £180 off. That's a really, really good discount. And that then Z800 F6.3 is also at a discount. You get £450 off instant discount, apply the checkout.
That's pretty amazing. Now, on top of that, we also have a promo where you can offer up your F-mount glass in exchange for selected Z lenses. So if you were on the fence about maybe upgrading your F-mount glass to Z-mount equivalents, then we've got an offer for you there too. What's the offer on that one?
All right, so you basically get additional £90 off to the value of DSLR lenses towards selected Nikon lenses. The lenses included are 14-30 f/4, Z24-70 2.8, 70-100 2.8, 14-24 2.8, 24-120 f/4. Then you got 100-400, 105 macro, and Z400mm f/4.5. So 8 lenses included that promotion. Again, maybe if you got an old F-mount 14-24 and you want to upgrade either to 14-24 Z-mount or maybe get a 14-230, which is a really good lens, but cheaper than the 14-24. So that would be a good place to start. Obviously, some of those lenses are also Nikon Winter Savings promotions as well. So you get discount there as well. So quite a lot of discounts and promotions for the months of December. So we just literally recently had a Black Friday, right? So Nikon had some discounts on those. So it seems like they really want to push this quarter leading up to the holidays. So hopefully, if you wanted to add a new lens maybe to your lineup, that could be a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's time for me to upgrade. I don't actually have anything F-mount, except for manual focus lenses. I don't have anything F-mount left to trade in, but I'm sorely tempted by these offers regardless.
So you sold off your F-mount Osfox lenses, is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, I don't have any now. So I'm just pure Z, and then I've got my AIS lenses, which I'm very happy with, which are going absolutely nowhere. So those are staying on the FTZ and also on my FM3A. But if I did have something to upgrade, I'd probably take advantage of these.
All right. Well, I have H5 1.4G lens myself. That's the only lens that's left. That's a tough one. I mean, H5 1.2 is on discount.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Get £90 towards this, but there's £180 of that. So I don't know. I'll wait and see. I mean, it's still quite a lot of money to spend on new lens. Obviously, the new one is better, but 1.4G is so close to my heart that I'm probably going to have a hard time letting it go.
Hard time saying goodbye. Yeah, I do understand.
We're going to probably dedicate a 1 hour video just me talking about H5 1.4G.
Con says goodbye to the 85 1.4G. I should have done the same when I said goodbye to my 35 1.4G because that was another one that really, I miss it. I miss it on a regular basis.
That's true. You know what else we didn't say goodbye to is both of our Nikon Z6s that we've just upgraded to Nikon ZFs. You obviously got your royal, was a dark royal blue one, whatever the color is, and I've got just a classy black.
Classy black and not so classy blue. No, I think the blue is pretty classy, actually. It's the Becky blue. It's very nice.
Yeah. It's not like a denim blue or anything.
No, I'm very fond of this camera so far, the little bit that I've had a chance to use it. So I'm glad of the upgrade, but I do wish that we'd had an opportunity to do a say so long and farewell to the Z6 video.
That's true. But talk to me through the finish of your camera. So just talk to me about that, the special leather that's on Royal Blue.
Yeah, it's more mattified than the black version. You know how the black kind of is a shiny leatherette?
It's got a texture.
Yeah, exactly. So this has got less of a glossy finish. It's a bit more matte. And also, I suppose the understandable thing, but the odd thing, is that it's blue on the LCD screen as well. So when you collapse your very angled monitor, then you've got this sort of patch of blue leatherette on the back, which is a little strange, but I've warmed up to it. It's a very well-built camera. I'm really, really happy with it.
That's the thing. I always found it very strange. I saw the orange one. And yeah, the leatherette on the back of the screen does look a bit awkward. And because I do shoot with the screen, the flippy screen closed down. So aka film camera style. And I'd rather have black personally on a colored finish. But I do like the texture of the black leather finish. So I am quite happy with mine. I'm not really keen on the soft one. But obviously, everyone is different. What do you think about the camera so far? So now you had it for about, what, a week or so?
Yeah, just a week. Haven't had a huge opportunity to take it out and about and use it, but so far I'm really, really pleased. The thing that impressed me just immediately, because obviously this is my camera, I have used the ZF up to now. I've written a whole review on it for Nikon Owner with a lone stock model. And the thing that really impresses me is the autofocus, just the intelligence of the autofocus, but also the low light handling is fantastic. So far, I'm really, really pleased with it.
Yeah, you know what's interesting to me? I had a chat with a client today, and basically he said, well, I want a small camera for street photography. So I'm looking either at Nikon ZF or M11.
Wow.
Which is very strange, especially when the person never tried Leica before. And I kind of had to explain that, first of all, it's a rangefinder style. So you really ought to try the rangefinder style and see if it works for you. Second of all, it's autofocus. Third of all, it's £7,800 in the UK. So when you look at those three beats, and then you look at Nikon ZF, which gives you obviously a very fast autofocus and retro style, but also, you know, £2,300 for the body, you know? So if you look at those things, then, you know, he kind of thought about it. He said, you know what? I'll buy a ZF. If I don't like it, it's £2,300. It's not £7,800. You know, very interesting thought process. Don't ask me on that. Everyone has their own differences. It's not up to me to judge on that. But it was a very interesting discussion indeed.
That's interesting. Just goes to show where this customer is at versus where we're at, where we're like, this camera's got to last me a good 5-6+ years.
Exactly. You know, I still have Nikon F and I haven't upgraded since then.
Speaking of new and shiny things, there are new Nikon Z8 and Z9 firmware updates rumored to be released very soon. And part of that, we think, might be a new pre-capture in RAW feature.
Well, again, this is just based on rumors, really. Who knows? But if we're going to see a firmware update, I mean, it's going to be nice. It seems like this particular RAW pre-capture feature would compete kind of with Sony cameras and obviously with the newly announced Sony A9 III cameras to a degree. So, you know, I think it's very interesting. If we're going to get it, technically, that's going to be pretty good. From what I've read on the internet, it could be wrong, that actually Nikon can read the sensor 3.7 milliseconds. And that means we technically can get something like 240 frames per second readout if we want to. This is just a random things on the internet you read. Maybe there's no science to it. So, you know, don't quote me on that. But if that's the case, then 30 frames per second in RAW is technically possible. I mean, obviously, the amount of data is going to be huge. Expert processor can handle this. It comes down to the size of the buffer and the speed of recording into the memory card. So obviously, for this type of shooting, you probably will need a really, really fast CF Express card.
Sure. Now, off the back of this, there is a firmware update roadmap that's rumored to be in existence. Now, this came from Nikon Rumors and essentially lines out what firmware updates should appear in the future, but obviously neither us nor Nikon Rumors have any idea how legitimate this is.
Yeah, it reads more like a wish list in a way.
Okay, so the first thing that they tackle is 30 frames per second in RAW, which obviously would be 45 megapixel files, so 30 frames per second RAW files in continuous mode, which would be staggering, I think, if that were possible. The second one that they have put is continuous shooting speed switching, which means theoretically that you could shoot at 30 frames per second and then while shooting switch to 120 frames per second while shooting. Now, the issue with that obviously is that it would be JPEG only at the moment. 30 frames and 120 frames are only available in JPEG mode on both of those cameras. Then we have the one that we've just talked about, pre-capture continuous shooting in RAW. I think that this is something that's been asked for quite a lot by various different photographers.
So it is available in JPEGs. So now we want to get it in RAW. So that way people shoot RAW and they want their pre-capture to be in RAW for that reason, because you don't want to be limited by the limits of JPEG. It is useful, I agree, for whoever needs that to be. So then we got continuous 60 full frame burst shooting mode, working at 60 frames per second, each shot is 45 megapixels, followed by two shots of 11 megapixels in a cyclical loop. Sufficient frame rate to balance high resolution with possibility of capturing decisive moments. Now we have a video functionality. So a new log curve, extremely close to log C4. So for NRAW to maximize encoding efficiency, record the sensor original color space. Then we got 8.3K 120 frames burst video mode, shooting only at 2.5 seconds. So obviously you get 2.5 seconds at 8K 120 frames. So yeah, I guess it's very important. It's very needed. Yeah, people are literally just, you know, selling their Z9s because it doesn't do that. And then we got anamorphic lens support. Now, anamorphic lens support is obviously the squeeze and de-squeeze functionality and different ratios. I think that's cool, actually, because anamorphic lenses are getting cheaper and cheaper. That's the good news. And also it gives a really interesting effect as well. So if you like that effect, if you're into video side of things, I think that's one of the things that's actually quite nice to have. I mean, all the things are interesting. I personally would add pixel shift into the mix because we saw it on Nikon ZF. So now, obviously, why won't we see it on cameras like Z8 and Z9? Now, one of the explanations for us of the pixel shift was specifically redesigned vibration induction on the sensor of Nikon ZF. That particular thing contributes to the pixel shift. So it seems that to rework that functionality into Z9 or Z8 cameras, it's not exactly a straightforward task. At least that's what we were told. Still, I think Nikon's got its ways and their coders as well. So I think I'm sure they can do some magic there and make it work for us because, well, if you can get 100 megapixel shots out of 24 megapixel camera, we can definitely get a lot more pixels out of 45 megapixel camera.
That's right. Now, on to some realistic firmware. There is actually firmware in existence for the Coolpix P950, and they did an update which fixed the following issue. During time-lapse movie shooting, the camera normally locks focus at the first frame, but with some subjects, the focus position may be gradually shifted after the second frame. So useful if you've got a P950, be sure to download and update your camera.
We always get very excited about support for Nikon Z9 camera because obviously we are now on firmware version 4, which means Nikon been releasing update for this camera so gradually and effectively a building up on that release that came out almost 2 years ago now. You know, now P950 Coolpix has been around for much longer than that. And surprisingly, we still see the updates for it. So really, really nice to have. I'm glad that Nikon supports their old cameras. Who knows, maybe we'll see another upgrade for G815 one day. You never know.
To be fair, the firmware updates for these older cameras tend to be bug fixes. So I suppose it's good to know that Nikon can still fix bugs in their older models. But whether or not we'll see a new feature set, I think it's unlikely that the firmware development team are working on brand new features for these older cameras.
Yeah, no pixel shift for P90?
No pixel shift for P90.
No pre-capture RAW?
Probably not, although it is a camera that I know a lot of people have bought for their safaris and holiday going, so who knows? Who knows?
Here we go. Well, my mission now is to say snake game on the camera via firmware update. I'm going to say it every podcast now, so and hopefully that will happen one day. I'm sure P950 can handle a snake if Nokia 3310 could, so P950 can do that as well.
I think you're probably right. Now on to some possible news. We also have a rumor that the 28-400 Nikon Z 3.5-6.3 lens may be announced. Now, this is a really interesting lens because we actually discussed the other day our thoughts and feelings and predictions for 2024. And on that list was a sort of 28 to 300 equivalent, wasn't it?
Yes. And I think 28 to 300 personally makes more sense than 28 to 400. I mean, if you go for 28 to 400, it's definitely going to be an engineering achievement by Nikon. So that's going to be quite good. And obviously knowing Nikon, we know it's going to be pretty good optically, obviously not up to scratch the S-type lenses, but still going to be very good. But if you're going for 28 to 400, why not go for 28 to 1000? I mean, you know, for me, it would be a deal breaker not going further than 400.
It's basically the same thing, right? Same amount of technology goes into developing a 28 to 400 to a 28 to 1000.
Exactly. Just, you know, get a bit of plastic, put it in the casing, and here you go. The lens is ready. I mean,
put 1000 on.
How difficult can it be?
Anyway, so that's the only rumor that we have at the moment on lenses from Nikon.
That's why I'm not hired by Nikon as a lens engineer.
That's correct. That's the only reason why you're not hired. Not because you're actually not an optics expert.
Or can't read, you know.
What I was going to say, which is relevant to the podcast, is that our 2024 predictions video will be out over the holiday season. So definitely stay tuned for that to find out what we think is coming out next year.
Exactly. And now to the news we've all been waiting for.
It's the only one we care about.
Exactly. The new color film has been launched by Harman. Some of you will know it as Ilford. It's the same company, but they call it Harman. It's a brand new color film, not a respool. And it's the brand new color film that's been entirely made in UK at Ilford Harman Mobley factory. How exciting is this?
Yes. So this is the brand new Harman Phoenix. The color film. Yeah. So the brand new Harman Phoenix film has been launched. You will be seeing sample images all over the web of this, I'm sure. It looks like it's got a slight affinity towards the red color.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to give you a bit of skinny on that. Apparently, who knew that creating a new color film from scratch can be actually quite difficult in 2023? There's a reason that we haven't seen a brand new color film for quite a while. All we saw recently was basically respooled Kodak Aerochrome or Vision 3 stocks, yada, yada, yada. Bunch of black and white films, which are basically the same stock rebranded to something else, you know. So what Harman did is basically they worked on this project for years, you know, creating its own film. It's version one. It's a limited release. What they say is we are now at the point that we are happy to release it, but it's not a final version of the film. There's still work is going to go into it. And the sales of that film will go straight into development of the new versions of the film and iterating until they're 100% happy with the way the film looks. So yeah, very interesting. I've actually ordered a bunch. So I'm going to have mine coming in any day now. So I'm looking forward to shoot it. And to be honest with you, Harman is asking for feedback. So if some of your film shooters definitely maybe order a rule, give your feedback to Harman and hopefully they can improve this film and just build on top of it. But it's very excited that we now have a new play in color film market, which is not Kodak and Fujifilm.
That is very exciting. Good. I'm looking forward to seeing your results and seeing what you think of it.
Yeah.
Moving on to your weekend read and watch section, we interviewed Joe McNally and Seth Miranda, the absolute legends, last week, 2 weeks ago, and the interview came out just last week. Definitely check out this video. There are so many gems of information in there from true professionals. It's well worth a listen and a watch. If you're listening on a podcast platform, it's available in podcast form. If you're watching on YouTube, it's over there in our videos.
And for you gearheads, we have some reviews. So Omar Gonzalez Photography reviews Nikon ZF. Have a look at that. We've got Mark Granger comparing 1H600 lens versus 600PF lens. And we also have the Ultimate Portrait Shootout by Mark Granger as well, where he compares Planon 135Z lens with a classic 200mm f2G lens. All fantastic lenses. Have a look at this. I think it's a really interesting watch.
That's right. And then last up, we have the Z6III, Is It Coming? Z500, ZF Leica, and more with Bobby Tonelli and Matt Irwin. That's over on Matt's channel. Definitely check that out if you've got a chance. Plenty for you to watch this weekend.
Exactly. And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us this week.
Yes, thank you very much for watching and or listening. Please give us a like and a subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you're listening on a podcast platform, please give us a follow, a rating, a review. It all helps massively.
Exactly. And if you are on social media, we are on Instagram, apparently, putting our pictures up from different cameras and lenses we try. So check us out on the Instagrams over the world. Becky is...
I'm at Rebecca_Danese. The shop is at Nikon at Grays.
And I'm at Konstantin Kochkin. And we will see you after the jet lag at some point next week.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.